I'm talking to Mimi Stewart. Welcome.
Thank you, Susan.
Well, we've talked to you before, and I remember talking to you when you moved from the House over to the Senate. But when you first did that, you really didn't get the pick of the committees that you wanted. The thing that's exciting now is that you're the head of an interim committee.
Yes, when I moved to the Senate, I essentially had to take over Tim Keller's appointments because it was in the middle of a four-year term. Everybody was already assigned to committees and chairs and vice chairs. And so I just went into the committees that he was on, which were Senate Public Affairs, which I remain on, and then Corporations and Transportation. So I served on that for just a year. Wasn't a big fan of it. I learned some things, and some people were surprised at some of my votes. I guess, you know, we all get pigeonholed, and people decide how we're going to vote on things, but that's not always what happens. I try to learn things and be reflective, and I'm here both sides of the issue. So, but after that, after the election, when I won my primary, that's when I was essentially named chair of LESC, even though I was not chair of Senate Education. Okay. So Senator Bill Soles is the chair of Senate Education, and then I kind of share that education chair issue with him by being the chair of the Interim Education Committee, the LESC.
And, of course, your background is in education, and so that's really what you are sort of destined for. Did you ask for that?
When I first got into the Senate, I sat down with Mary Kay Papin and talked to her, the present pro tem, and talked to her about my background and what I had been doing. I was the chair of the House Education Committee for my last 2 years in the House. But then when the 2016 election happened, I was then no longer going to be the chair because the Republicans took control. So I talked to her about my background. So she really understood that education really was my passion. It's what I know best. Although, you know, I'm very concerned about women's issues and the environment, good government, and the water issues in this state. So she, you know, she heard me out, and I think she had to sort of see if I was going to be a good chair and could be a leader in this issue. And so 2 years later, when it came time to decide which education person was going to be in charge of what, she took both Bill Soles and myself and made us kind of co-partners. Mm-hmm. So I guess I proved to her that I could be a good chair.
You were saying how long you had been chair of a committee in the House, and I was there all that time, but I had forgotten. So give us the history.
Well, it was only I was elected in 94. I think it was only 4 years later that I was the vice chair of Energy and Natural Resources. So I only did that for a couple of years, and then I was chair of Government and Urban Affairs. That committee changed about 6 years later to Health, Government, and Urban Affairs, and I was chair of that. So I've been chair for quite a while in the House. I only got a few years off in the beginning, and then I was chairing from then on.
What I remember is that you had so many bills you had to do, and you had to meet on weekends, and you really made people work, is my recollection. Let's talk about what you are able to do as the interim, because a lot of times issues come up and get discussed a lot in the interim.
So the way the education committee works is that for 2 years, one house chairs, and then it passes to the other one. So we've just finished 2 years of the House chairing. That Representative Dennis Ross, he did a great job. He's a superintendent, former teacher himself, under the Republican control. So now the Senate gets it for 2 years. And, you know, this is the last 2 years under this current administration. We don't even have the same Secretary of Education in a couple of weeks. She's out of here. I really want to take this time for the Education Committee to study, that's the name, Legislative Education Study Committee, the findings of the International Education Study Group out of National Conference of State Legislatures. Oh. They've produced a report. You can go online, NCSL, and read it. It's called No Time to Lose. Hmm. They've been to 5 different countries, Canada, Singapore, Finland, Shanghai, to look at what those countries do that's different from the United States that produces this much better academic achievement on these international measures. So every 3 years, the whole 70 countries that have agreed to do this have their 15-year-olds take exams in math, reading, and science. And so we've got an international comparison. So the U.S. has made no gains in 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Now, we're not at the bottom. We're in the middle. We're about average. But you've got all those countries that I mentioned outscoring us tremendously, tremendously. So the question is why? And if there are things that we can do in this country that will help, then why aren't we doing them? And so I really want us to focus on that. So each committee meeting, we're going to try to have people that have worked with this International Education Study Group, that have visited those countries, that know about the educational system, to actually come and testify before us. And we're going to start off by reading a book. It's called Surpassing Shanghai. So I'm excited to think about education in a positive way. Let's focus on what we can do to achieve and improve for our students, for our state. Instead of, you know, talking about for the umpteenth time, shall we retain 8-year-olds who can't read? I'm just so done with all of these problems and hassles and fights we've been having. I really want us to focus on what we need to do. What we need to do better.
And how does the committee feel about it? What reaction have you been getting?
Well, tomorrow's the first day, so I don't know yet. I have been talking to people individually, and so far everyone has said, oh, that sounds very exciting. That sounds great. And that includes the Republicans I've talked to. Because I actually was asked to join the International Education Study Group this past winter. So I'll be doing my work in that group. Unfortunately, they've already gone to all those countries and seen things. So now for the next 2 years, it's supposed to be, how do we take what they learned and put them into practice? So I'm going to be doing my own studying with them on how to put them into practice. One of our states is really at the top on that PISA test. It's the Program for International Students Assessment. That's Massachusetts. And in August, National Conference of State Legislatures is actually meeting in Boston, and our International Education Study Group is going to get to drill down into what Massachusetts is doing that we all can learn from.
That's exciting.
Very exciting. Best practices, best strategies. Let's try to learn from people who are doing a better job than us. We, you know, it's something that we really need to look at. And when it comes to education, not these canned reform programs that have, you know, don't work and that aren't based on research and science. The research on third grade retention, for example, says it does much more harm than good. Well, we don't want to do that in education. We don't have time to waste 8-year-olds' lives and doing something that will harm them. So I really want us to focus on what works. Now, of course, it's New Mexico, and we always say what works in other places doesn't necessarily work here. Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, true. It's true of anywhere. So we'll have to assess out what might work here and what we can do. There aren't silver bullets in education. There really aren't. It's just hard, slogging work, having enough funding to do programs that make a difference in kids' lives, all the way from early learning. You know, these other countries ensure that when children reach grade school age, kindergarten, they're ready to learn. They already know a lot of young basics, you know, the alphabet, colors, shapes, how to write their name. They've been read to. We can't make those assumptions with our five-year-olds that come to kindergarten. They just don't have that kind of a background. But in other countries, they make sure they have that. That's just one thing that we could do here, is more high-quality early childhood programs so that kids are more ready to learn when they get to school.
What about money? Because that's a big question in our state at this point.
Yep. And with our current administration here for another 18 months, there seems to be little hope for raising revenue for the schools. We have been underfunding them for many years, and it's gotten worse under this administration. Our current governor has never offered a salary increase to educators in her 6.5 years here. And neither has the Secretary of Education looked for a salary increase. You can't continue to keep high quality professional people and just discount that they need and deserve a salary increase. You can't do that to people. Certainly private businesses don't. And the countries that are beating us on PISA, they pay their teachers well. But it's not just pay. It's like they have programs that are better than ours. They have better training of teachers. They expect them to be trained longer and have a longer period of time where they're mentored and where they're still learning in the classroom before they do it themselves. They collaborate. In Singapore, they teach all morning, 4 hours, and the 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon, teachers all work together. You know, what's the best way to teach a 9-year-old how to divide fractions so that child understands at a real basic level what they're doing, not just memorizing a formula that doesn't make any sense? I bet you'd be hard-pressed to tell me how you divide fractions. I'm trying to struggle myself with it. So teaching is really an art. But in these other countries, they work better together. They collaborate. They produce lessons together. And then their children learn better than ours. Now, there's plenty of things that are wonderful about the U.S. and our system of education. And these other countries will tell you, what you have us beat on is innovation, creativity, thinking outside the box. Because their schooling tends to be more focused on the mechanics and skills that you need, and higher thinking, higher level thinking. But for the U.S., we really excel in the open learning aspect. And other students from other countries come to this country because of that.
Do you think that, will it be difficult to lead your committee and have them be concentrating on this? Or do you think they'll sort of think about some of the bills that they've pushed in the past and things like that and say, maybe we should get back to what we've been working on?
Well, we'll see. And you know, LESC meets 3 days a month starting tomorrow, starting in June, and then goes for 6 months. So there'll be room for other conversation. It's not like we're going to do this all the time, but we're going to make sure that at each meeting we have some presentation about the findings of this international study group. So it's not the only thing we'll be doing, but it will be a main focus for us.
Okay. Do you think you'll get more agreement coming out of the committee that way?
Well, I'm not really looking for agreement. What I'm looking for is people to study and learn different ways that we might make improvements here. So I'm hoping it's an aha moment for some people. It's like, now look at why they did that and what's happened because of it and how could we do that here? So I'm hoping it's, and that's what people have said, most of them, is that, well, this sounds fun, like exciting, learning, thinking about things differently. So I'm hoping that that's what they bring to the table rather than, you know, what we can agree and disagree on.
And when you come out of this, which would be in 2 years because of the short session, what do you want to happen then, or don't you know yet?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I certainly hope that at that time we have some systems that we can change because we've come to the conclusion together, come to a consensus on what we need to do. So I'm definitely looking for perhaps a change in our school grading system. It just doesn't really work. We need changes in our teacher evaluation system. That doesn't really work. They're big for the education districts. They're just creating havoc. Teachers are leaving the state because of both of those systems. They're leaving the state because they just can't make any money. We just don't pay here. They can go to any state surrounding us and make a higher salary, including transportation and a bonus if you're a bilingual. Mm-hmm. I mean, other states are taking our good students away from us because of that. That's certainly part of it. But I'm hoping we kind of have an agenda that we're all wanting to move forward on.
Great. Well, it sounds exciting. Good luck.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Susan. I'm very excited about it.